Hello, 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 hello. Early morning afternoon show here on Blink Radio, WSQFradio.com. Live streamed. And then 94.5 on your radio. Yours truly, Mac on the Rock. I'm on a rampage because I got part two of the George Maduro story of Dad. He wants to get Dad, Bobby Maduro. You guys remember him from the stadium days. Those of us that are not old enough to remember the stadium days have to just remember the stadium, which has now been demolished. But Bobby Maduro was a great Cuban thinker, man, visionary for Major League Baseball, and he brings it to America, Cuban baseball, and they were the Miami Sugarcanes. So, George, how are you for part two?
Thank you, Manny. I'm looking forward.
Now he brought a sugar cane shirt, but only for himself. He didn't bring me Dilly's car.
I'll tell you something that
I want that shirt. It's handsome shirt.
Listen, Thursday night at the University of Miami was Bobby Maduro Cuban Sugar Kings night.
Wow!
I went to see the athletic director, which I love that guy, Dan Radavovich.
Radavovich
came from El Clemson.
Okay.
And I said, Dan, I want to become the ambassador for the University of Miami.
And you are also Hurricane Hall of Fame.
So I said, I want to become the ambassador because, number one, you guys hired a Cuban guy, Cristobal, to be the football coach.
Yes.
Then
Miami Columbus.
And then you hire now J.D. Arteaga, which should have been the coach many years ago, but maybe he wasn't ready. You know, God has his own calendar.
Correct.
So, again.
And George is also an amazed brother like I.
So
you're welcome here to Blink Radio.
So we wanted to become the ambassador. When I always say we, because me and Jesus Christ, I don't go anywhere where my friend Jesus doesn't go. So he agreed to do a Bobby Maduro Cuban Sugar Kings night at the US. So then the next day, a lieutenant called me, you know, the guy who makes it happen. And then a girl, unbelievable girl, called me. And then the last one who's going to fix the day. I threw the first pitch, Manuel, to my grandson, Mason.
Wow.
Mason Maduro, who's going to keep carrying this torch.
And he's now a freshman at UM young?
He's in eighth grade.
Oh, my God.
His father.
Because your son also played for UM as well, or no?
No. He went right to professional baseball.
Oh, so he was on fire.
He was on fire, even though I should have done with him what my father did for me. I wanted to sign. My father said, you are going to the University of Miami. My father was a very strict man.
Yeah, because you need your brains after baseball.
That's why he won three championships. He won it in Cuba in 1959 with the Sugar Kings. When the Sugar Kings went into exile,
that ended because of the Revolution,
ended up in Jacksonville. He won two championships there.
At AAA.
In AAA. And then I won one in AAA when I was with the Syracuse Chiefs. So the Maduro family.
Yeah, baby, you breed champions.
Win. And Georgie, when he was at Westminster.
Do you guys have also Wheaties for breakfast or no?
Well, we have to get the contract.
Oh, you got to sign us up. First, Bobby Maduro Wheaties.
Remember, you're the agent.
Woo-hoo!
So bottom line is, I went, and then my surprise, I get the Thursday, I get there early to make sure that everything was running smooth for my family. When I look into the field, everybody, every single player at the University of Miami was hitting batting practice with his shirt on.
Oh, my Lord.
I had to.
Someone in PR did a wonderful job.
Tremendous job. And my nephew, Robert McDaniel, who, you know, JD runs the field for baseball. Robert runs everything else. So they had ordered shirts, and every single player.
What a surprise for you, huh?
Surprise.
Hello.
My eyes got so watery, I had to go to the bathroom, put water, so I would not look like a fool, because now at 76
plus you might overthrow the catcher. You might overthrow the Madison. You might throw right over his head.
But remember last time I told you that when we won that game in 1959, remember when the player, Raul Sanchez, was...
I don't remember. I was not even conceived yet.
No, but I told you.
Okay, yeah. I should remember because of our last conversation.
You got to listen to your own show.
Yeah. I don't listen to any of my shows twice, so I can't stand how I sound.
So bottom line, is I wanted to have that same feeling, that rush of the people rushing the field. So I asked him, I said, look, I want to throw the first pitch to my grandson.
And I want everybody to rush out in the field and raise my 290 pounds above their heads and take me off like Shula.
I said, as soon as I throw the pitch, I want the rest of my two daughters and the grandkids, three more, to rush the field.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's exactly what we did. Then my daughter, Jennifer, with my son's ex-wife, decorated a suite. A lawyer named Ruiz had a suite, and she decorated with pictures, which I'm going to send them to you. Amazing. So bottom line is, we had a tremendous thing. Now we order shirts, the Maduro family, and I'm going to bring you one then.
Okay, remember.
It's a medium, no?
Triple extra large.
That's what I wear.
Okay, so now we let's move this on to the new campaign of getting Dad into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And you have this tremendous conviction and crusade, and rightfully so. Unfortunately, the story of Cuba is always the same. You know, the revolution pretty much stinks everything up for us. But now you reconciled our reality, and now you want to move this along and get the attention of journalists nationwide,
right,
who knew your father, knew of your father. How is the politics of that? Let the audience know how cumbersome it is to get the politics, overcome the politics to get a man that many people have, it's past his time, many people don't know his beautiful story. How do you get them to consider in the selection committee?
By a lot of hard work. And a lot of people helping us. The idea is not for one guy, me doing everything, but a lot of people doing a little bit. So the challenge is that sports writers are the ones to, the media is the one to, September, October, they receive the proposal of the people.
Which is like a resume of what your father's achievements were.
So that nominating committee, if they like what they read, goes to a selection committee in November or December of this year, for the election for 2025. The challenge is that sports writers probably weren't even born when my father passed away.
Or during his exploits, obviously.
So what we had to do, what we're doing is, we're finding the newspapers in every major league city, and we send them an information, trying to find out, you know,
if they can dig up an article from the past.
They can dig, whatever. And I plan to travel and some other, we call them the friends of Bobby Maduro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm planning to travel to the cities, like, you know, where there's a lot of Hispanics.
Does your father have like eyewitnesses of his age that are still alive?
A couple of them, yes.
Yes, that can give testimony to what he did.
So, and the Marlins, I met with the Marlins, and they committed to basically lead the way. Two Imeo's brothers, Alfredo Mesa, and they committed to basically help, you know, get Miami involved in the campaign and get my father elected.
Now, I imagine you're also recruiting people from the Jacksonville area that was involved in the minor leagues, or is that hard?
No. It's hard because
you guys won championships.
A lot of these people passed
your
away.
Father won championships up there.
Yeah, but look how God works. They called me last year. Listen to this, how it works. I'm getting up like at 3-4 in the morning, like I always do to pray. And I see something about Tim Tebow, a story about Tim Tebow.
Okay.
That's what this is about 4 o'clock in the morning. About 8 o'clock in the morning, a guy by the name of Dick Nichols, who plays second base in the high school play where I played, and then later on.
In your high school?
In my high school.
Wow, in Jacksonville.
So 4 hours later, Dick called me and said, George, we're having a reunion. It's only going to be 12 or 13 people, and we want you to go. We've been thinking about you. A lot of times you could not make it. And Tim Tebow's father wants to see you once again.
Wow. And you were reading the article earlier in the morning.
I told Dick that. I said,
that's God.
It's unbelievable.
It's God incidents.
So we went to St. Augustine, Florida. I had a beautiful time. Guys that I hadn't seen in 40 years. So they also are the ones helping me in Jacksonville. They're getting the right people, trying to dig some of the articles. And so, you know, that's a way to go. And again, trying to get all the Hall of Famers Latin. I talked to Orlando Cepeda the other day. He committed fully. I talked to Tony Oliva.
Whoa, that's a big name that many.
Tony Perez.
Tony Perez, another big name.
So
Tony Perez is still an official with the Marlins, or
no? I mean, you know, when Jeter came, a huge mistake that they made was getting rid of him.
Yeah, of course.
Conine, now they brought him back, and Dawson. You know, how can you commit those errors?
Dawson the Hawk.
The Hawk.
Whoa.
Which I didn't know. The other day, I was meeting people in Richmond Heights, and he owns a funeral home in Richmond Heights.
No way. So I went to Miami-Dade College with his brother. And
super guy.
Man, boy, could he throw the football. I mean, throw the baseball, man.
I wow. did. And we used to play, when I played softball in La Clínica with Leon. The one that
he played for the Expos and someone else.
He played for the Expos.
Yeah,
with another local guy.
But he was famous for throwing people out, man.
No,
I mean not from the pitcher. I mean throw the ball out
of the outfield.
Yes, throw from the outfield.
He had terrible knees,
but he had a cannon. He could get to home base.
And he could hit. He had power. He got into the Hall of Fame, so he had to be good.
So in other words, speaking on behalf of your dad. Obviously, he's not from the generation, but I guess that carries some weight.
Tremendous amount of weight because they know the story. I mean, the thing is, they know the story.
Did the Hawk also went to high school in the Richmond Heights area in South Florida?
I don't know that either. He played maybe Southwest. I don't know. I don't really know where he played, but I remember.
Yeah, because then he could give a testimony of what he heard in his neighborhood growing up, right. At Bobby Maduro Stadium. Remember, it all starts with the stadium as far as Miami is concerned, because right. They don't know your father personally or the story. They'll definitely remember the stadium.
No, the stadium, the name Maduro, because the stadium was there in 20th Street.
Yeah.
Right by Jackson.
It was literally down the street from my father's produce warehouse. That's why I knew. By the cash and carry that was there.
Once they knocked the stadium down, the Marlins named the street.
Bobby Maduro.
The west side of the stadium is Bobby Maduro, and an entrance is Bobby Maduro. So,
and what did the city do with it? Is it a park now or anything?
No,
or?
They knocked down the stadium and low income housing, which is
I think your father would have been okay with that.
And there's a big plaque that talks about the history and so forth. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah, fine. It's a contribution to our community. Now, as far as everything goes, you were telling a story in the hallway that I wanted to remind you to tell of what's really cool about being with you is you're a natural radio guy. So anything could trigger a story. And this gentleman in the hallway was a friend of your son, and all of a sudden it triggered a bunch of things about Westminster Academy and Westminster Baseball, where your son played. Tell us that little story, because that's a very local story. Here on Blink Radio, we like to tell community stories.
So my son, George, I have four kids, two boys and two girls. So during high school, George and John were at Belen, and Jessica would have had to go to Lourdes. And I lived in Kendall. So they would have, all spread out. My wife would have been like an Uber driver.
Yeah.
So Manny Crespo, who played at Miami High, big star, and I had developed a really good rapport, said, bring them to Westminster that, they can all play here. So they all went there and excelled. In fact, my daughter, Jessica, the youngest, is in the Hall of Fame there for volleyball.
Wow.
She was the best volleyball player in the
country. And me having gone to Belen, Westminster was a major rival for us.
Tremendous.
And especially in football, man. They used to kick our butt.
They had a tremendous baseball coach called Rich Hoffman that I'm still very close to him. That's where Alex Rodriguez went, too, to the school. So George, went there. It was hard for him to play because they had a really, really, really good catcher, Spanky. Tremendous kid, too. So George didn't get to play much. But then Hoffman, unfortunately, they left Westminster, went to Westminster Christian in Broward. So Georgie transferred to Pace, and there he excelled.
Yeah, God's wish,
And then the Rays, the Tampa Devil Rays, drafted him. And they started talking to him, getting him,
Yeah, they filled up their minds with ego and accolades.
Where I wanted George to go to college, and I had asked Tampa not to talk to him because they drafted him in the 12th round. where they had told me that they were going to draft him early.
Yeah.
So I said, look, leave him alone so he can go to college. But again, they started, and George got the fever, and I should have done what my father did. But my father was tough, such a tough guy that I went the other way. I said, you want to play professional? You're not ready, but go ahead and do it. When you talk to George now, who's doing excels in real estate, he said, I wish I had done what you said, because education is extremely important.
God, it's a majority of your life.
He fought it. A good trait of the Maduro is perseverance. He tried for 6 years. He made it all the way to AAA, and then he got hurt like myself. He hurt his shoulder. I hurt my back and my knees.
So much of professional sports is just, can you survive? Can your body survive long enough for someone to notice you?
Well, when George talks, he talks about.
And then when they notice you, you got to be able to play to keep their attention, and your body's got to cooperate.
But when George talks about that that experience of him, he says how important the lessons that he learned is what making him extremely successful in real estate now. And he is the one that, while I was kind of dormant, he basically took out the batter. And he developed the Cuban Sugar Kings Foundation, which is still on.
Mm-hmm.
And he, out of his own pocket, bought uniforms for the kids in the area of where the Roberto Clemente Park is.
Oh, wow. A La Pata.
So the uniform, he spent a lot of time, a lot of money. He coached a little bit at Jackson a couple of years ago. His heart is exactly where my father was.
Yeah, that smell of the smell of pine tar and glove never goes away, because I play Little League baseball, and man, when I smell those smells from the dugout, when my son was a fantastic hitter for Palmetto High, and he also played Corey League, and I remember sponsoring his team as Ace Hardware, Key Biscayne, over there, which really was like a boom. And I remember how much he loved baseball, man. He really could hit the ball, man. He could smack the ball.
I'm proud of George because he kept the legacy going. He's like my grandfather because, you know, my grandfather came from Curacao, tremendous businessman. He, with their friends, developed the sugar mill in Camagüey, in Cunawa. And then with that money, he opened a big insurance company in Havana. And then with that money is how my father built this stadium with a friend, Miguel Suarez, who also, you know, from his father. So Georgie has the brains and the business savvy.
The acumen.
But also then the love for baseball, my father. So he's the Maduro who's basically going to carry the torch, and then Mason will continue it.
Also, now Mason is a catcher, because he's a catcher also. He's a catcher as well.
Yeah.
And you were?
A catcher.
Wow, so the three of you.
So basically, in fact, last year, the Marlins also honored Bobby Maduro and the Cuban Sugar Kings. And the day they wore those new uniforms, you know, they call them the neighborhood uniform or something like that.
This one they're wearing now?
The one that's orange with the stripes.
You know? Oh, okay, the pinstripes, yeah.
So we threw the first pitch. How did it go? Since it was COVID, this was like 2 or 3 years ago, we had to go to Sunnyland. So I gave the ball to George. George threw it to Mason.
Yeah.
And then we all gave a big hug that I never forget, that hug. And then during the game, during the first pitch, they put it up in the scoreboard.
Wow. It kind of sucks, this whole COVID thing.
No.
It's all made up stuff, all this stuff. I was just interviewing someone yesterday, unrelated to sports, and the whole COVID thing showed up again, and, you know, the vaccine, and
that's why in the political thing, we're tying up this campaign with a request that Bishop Roman asked me in 2011. He said, George, things are getting really rough here in Miami.
Yes.
You know, the politics are not going well. There's a lot of love for power, love for money.
Yes.
You have to, I've been mentoring, he reminded me, since 1977. So I was like 34 years weekly meeting with him. And he said, promise me that you will do something to get our area healthy. So we came up with
perfect a plan. Segue. So tell me what this plan is.
So the whole thing was
wholeness for young people through baseball.
So we're going to do it through, my father used to say, baseball, all sports are good, but baseball is the only game that gets families together. It's the only game that basically the grandfather, the son, and the grandson can go eat popcorn together, drink Coke together, get up and sing. So no other sports can do that.
And not related to a clock.
Right.
It's by inning.
Right.
And meaning then, it could be 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours together.
Well, right now they're trying to roll. And then
tell them to kiss my butt. Leave the nine innings alone, man. It's but, the art of anticipation. That's what baseball is.
But bottom line is, you know, we're having a time of our lives. You know, I thank God for George and everything. So now we're doing this baseball wellness program.
Give us some details of that.
Well, the only goal, our only goal is to get kids to get a scholarship in college and a chance to play professional baseball. They have to agree and sign.
That they will do that.
That they will commit to develop the habits to win at the game called life.
And then baseball.
And then baseball. So we're having a great time with that. We're starting a lot of clinics in Miami Lakes. We have the first one. I've talked to some people to do it here in Key Biscayne, Rionda.
Okay.
He loved the idea. When they get back to September, October, we're going to coach the coaches and go from there. And George had another dream. He said, Pops, how about organizing a tournament where maybe Key Biscayne can play Miami Lakes?
Yeah.
Hialeah can play Miami Beach. You know, so again, getting...
Yeah, getting the neighborhoods, getting the neighborhoods to
together.
Yeah, getting the neighborhoods to compete,
and then we plan.
And you have to include Perrine because Sunnyland is a great baseball area, and of course Tamiami. Hello.
No, in Florida City, I met with the mayor.
Remember, Tamiami has how many baseball diamonds over there?
It's the park with the most number of kids. I heard yesterday again the political scene getting in. I heard yesterday that there's a challenge between the state and Dade County, because the state wants to get the fields for FIU.
Okay.
Well, obviously, the county's trying to preserve for the kids.
So, yeah, because it's the youth centers, I mean, Dade County Youth Fair was there, too.
That's right.
And the airport. Remember the big airport that used to be there?
But you know,
No longer used.
So, again, that's a park that supposedly has the most kids in the United States, you know, playing.
Yes.
So why mess up with that park?
Well, there's got to be like FIU should be able to upgrade the facility so that both can use it just fine.
That's even a better idea, you see.
You see, the state of Florida puts up the money because it's part of the university, state university system. That means that the grass is China grass, immaculate, like a golf course, and make it beautiful so the kids feel pride when they go to play at 10 years old. They say, wow, look at this field. There's nothing worse than hitting a ground ball and it hits a bad piece of grass, flips over the outfielder's head, it turns a single into a triple because of bad turf.
Right.
That sucks. That's terrible.
That's what happened.
So you need to have beautiful grass.
That's what happens in where the Roberto Clemente Park is.
The grass is terrible.
To turf it.
Yes.
However, the city did a study, and it's built on top of something.
Probably some toxic waste site.
That's
yeah.
exactly right. So they have to spend so much money. They're still planning on it. But, you know, it takes...
And the city of Miami's got no money, man.
Right.
They're broke.
So, but I mean, so they're working, and George is working. Which is
Manny Diaz, who went to Belen, Manny Diaz had this incredible... The thing is, he did it too. He paid up the big money for the urban planning project, and it was the most incredible, and it should be reconsidered. Maybe this is something that you'll run into, because it's right here in Virginia Key. He created a master plan, not he, an organization that the city of Miami spent, I think, $2 or $3 million to do this. The most fantastic athletic facility for what is basically a disaster, Virginia Key.
Right.
Now, Virginia Key does have that sewer system there.
Right.
Okay, got to overcome that. But that can be overcome with pine trees all the way up. You won't even see the thing back there. But the plan that I saw, the area, I wonder if it's still online. I wish I could remember the abbreviations. But my God, it was, I believe it was two clover leaves where all the home plates meet. There's a concession stand there, area for socializing. the fields go out, girls and boys, so in other words, softball and baseball, with a track and field and a huge stadium to bring the U.S. Little League Olympic team there. Well, not Olympic team, just Little League team. And it all just died because of politics.
No, I mean, I'm gonna call Manny. Manny's a good friend.
I'm sure he would be very prideful to bring that back to life.
And George would love to work on that project.
You know,
those real estate projects.
And it would have preserved what everybody wants to preserve, which is Marine Stadium and the environmental.
They're talking now. I saw the other day, they're talking now to, again, in Key Biscayne, that Marine Stadium.
Yes.
They're talking about fixing some of that part because they're bringing I cannot remember the term, Nycro something. It's a car racing thing, you know, through, I guess they have to build.
That would be disastrous for us, man.
Well, yes or no, why?
Nah.
You don't like that idea?
No, man, the best, it's really sad because Miami is shunning itself. Probably one of the biggest assets at par with baseball in Miami. Par with University of Miami football, par with the Miami Dolphins' success, and now the Heat. And the Panthers, they were in the Stanley Cup, for Christ's sake. But, you know, they're north.
Don't forget, now there's soccer. There's a great, you know,
and then you got Messi. Okay. But the greatest team of all time in South Florida, and people don't get this, is the Miami Rowing Club.
That's right.
My daughter rowed there. I was supposed to row there, but we'll see it out. My father had me there for the Big Five, and I would have been against Miami Rowing Club. But, you know, Cesar Olio did wonderful things, get the clubhouse there under really interesting circumstances of politics. But for the number one rowing championship is when everybody has to come to Miami, where we host the event, and then they come to that place, that ghetto disaster, a graffiti-filled stadium, rocky shore. The kids have to walk in the mud to get their boats in the water. We don't even have ramps. Miami Clubhouse has ramps, so we look like assholes as the host with a ramp, and everybody else has the afango. That's terrible messaging, terrible tourist messaging. When in fact you're looking at downtown Miami, the kids are rowing in the salt water with waves and wind, which is extraordinary because you win that tournament, you are bad, bad ass. Rowing team, boys and girls. And we're the kings because when we go up to Tampa, we rip everybody a new one. We get 20 medals, 5 silvers, 6 golds, 4 bronzes, male and female, 2, 4, the solo one, skull. And I watched it all. And they had this place called Howard Benenson Park. Excuse me if I got the first name wrong, but it's Benenson Park. And old man Benenson developed everything around there. And he gave this facility to rowing. And it's got a press tower so you can look down at the rowing matches. It's got a straight line with a water break. And the water is brackish. It's fresh water. No wind. The wind is by mountain, like hills around it. So the ground wind gets eliminated so the kids can really haul ass. Then it wraps around. And it's designed by God. The Miami Stadium is identical to it. All you have to do is add the features. And nobody can do that. I mean, Suarez, Mayor Suarez, hello.
We got to make you run for commissioner or something.
No, my idea would die if I were elected.
No, we'll do it. We'll work on it.
I mean, can't believe it that they propose a racetrack. Are you kidding me?
No.
Or a place to park boats on trailers? Okay, fine. But, man, for that shoreline, just paint the damn stadium. Just put plastic benches on it. My God, no one has told me. I don't think anybody could say that the architecture is condemned building. Otherwise, then just paint it. But don't let people stand there instead of sit there. But, my God, what a place to watch a rowing match. And guess what? Miami, the city of Miami, is obligated to show some respect to the Miami Rowing Club for the incredible program that it is. Right. If it was just a regular program, fine, but it's the best program in the entire country. Everybody comes to Miami saying, can we beat MRC? And everybody knows it at all those ages.
No, I remember Chino Aguayo used to.
He was there. The king.
The Arellanos used to.
Yes.
No, it was a tremendous group of people there.
Yes.
So you're right. So maybe we might have to work.
Pay some respects to the finest private community social rowing program in the nation, And then you have, on top of that, you have the coaches that some of them are from Cuba who were also kick-ass rowers.
That's right.
And they were Olympians. In fact, I would say that Cuba rowing put Cuba on the map worldwide before baseball, wrestling, boxing. Right. It was rowing.
That's right.
God! It annoys the hell out of me because the rowing is the most excruciating sport. It's no pain, no gain. And with your back to the wind, because that wind comes out of Miami, out of downtown Miami, into the back of the rower, mm-hmm. and he's rowing his ass off. And they have to be in total synchronicity. So you know that El Cangrejo,
right.
El Cangrejo flips the whole boat.
Right.
And to see my daughter really develop her character, my daughter is 6 foot tall today.
Wow.
She would have gone scholarship if she wasn't like me, where she just said, nah, I don't want to do it. Kate Holigo, because she had this incredible wingspan because of her height, but she refused to scull.
Yeah.
She didn't want to be by herself. I go, come on. I go, Dad, it's two oars. So what? They want you for that because of your wingspan, because your arms are long and your legs are long.
Yeah, discipline is very important for an athlete.
And perseverance, the Maduro
definitely,
trait.
Definitely.
Yeah, the Maduro trait. So what's next?
Well, next is I can't talk about it yet, but I'm talking. In fact, I'm going to tell you. I'm talking to Carlos Oliva.
Okay.
To see if we can partner since he plays Pelotero La Bola.
Wow.
So we're trying to see if we can maybe every quarter or so forth come up with some type of event, dancing. Because, again, part of wellness is the social component. So we're
talking. That'd be a Tropical Park would be a fantastic place for that.
So we're talking to him to become a partner in the music, so where he'll run the music, him and Eloy Cepero, who ran track at the University of Miami when I was there. So maybe the Marlins, we can invite people to go to the Marlins. We did last year Family Day at the ballpark. So, I mean, we're excited. We got a lot of things going, a lot of things are very positive. And the most important thing, people are really responding. We talked about we're building a database since March 1st, which is basically when we decided to launch this. We probably have about 700 names, people who are willing to receive information from us, and then if they find an interest, they're participating.
And a big sponsor.
We're negotiating.
You know who's got to jump on board? Bacardi.
Right. And Bacardi and Coke were the sponsors in the stadium. So you're gonna be my agent, man.
Well, you know,
and then we want to do podcasts. Are we allowed to do podcasts from here?
Yeah, man. Look how this place is built.
No, it's a perfect place to.
Yeah,
do
podcasts. The blue walls are here for a reason.
No.
This is actually the booth here. Here on Blink Radio, it's not a radio station. I can't really claim it's a radio station per se. It is because of the license, the federal license, but it's just a radio booth. Notice I don't have employees. Right. I don't have someone screening calls. I have toll-free numbers and phone numbers only for guests to call, but not for audience to call.
Right.
Because I don't have anyone to screen the caller, make sure that they don't talk bobería. So, but I've been told by other people in the business that have come here in the radio industry, they say I have the nicest booth.
No, I've been to many of them. I love it.
This booth is really cool. So that you put on the cameras here with blue walls, it looks like an aquarium.
If you like our programming on WSQF 94.5 in Key Biscayne, you can also hear us very far away nationwide, WSQFradio.com. And if you like our audio files and our subject matter, subscribe to YouTube, Mac on the Rock Rampage. Take care and stay free.